Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. I'm so glad you're part of our Hope Sabbath School family. We've been on an amazing series, The Least of These, from the words of Jesus, ministering to those in need. Today, a community of servants. I hope you've been blessed by this series, by the way. If you've missed any, go to our website, hopetv.org/hopeSS. You can watch the whole series. I hope you've learned the theme song. And I'm so glad that you write to us, sshope@hopetv.org, because when you write, we're blessed. Are you blessed to hear these emails from around the world? You know, we read them not to promote people's names, but to honor the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Because lives are being changed. And we are thankful that you've written to us. Here's one from Prince in Zambia. Thank you for the interactive Bible studies. Every time I watch the program, I get more ideas to share with my fellow Sabbath School members. Keep on working for God. You're really helping me. God bless the team. And guess what? My brothers and sisters enjoy the program too.
Amen.
We always look forward to the next in-depth interactive study. Well, Prince, you are a witness right there in Zambia, because when you're watching and listening to the Word, your brothers and sisters are saying, I want to watch and learn about God too. Amen?
Amen.
You might even want to think about downloading our outline and starting an in-depth interactive Bible study right there in your community. That would be amazing. Let us know what you do with that. Here is a note. Oh, Puya. Yes. Someone from Burma living in Norway.
Wow.
You say, how could let's have a wave from Puya to someone by the name of Zathang. Zathang.
I know him.
You know him?
Yes.
All right. Well, you can wave to him again. Zathang is a physician living in Norway. He writes, I'm so glad about Hope Sabbath School. I'm working in a private clinic. Every morning I watch this program before I start my work, and I'm filled with the happiness and joy of God.
Amen.
I share with a lot of my patients about Hope Sabbath School, and I get lovely, kind feedback from every patient. Pray for me and my patients. I think we are close to the end of the day.
Amen.
May the Holy Spirit be with you all. Well, I want to thank you for writing to us, Zathang, and for sending a picture to, and we're praying for you and your family. They're on a service for Jesus there in Norway, and we're glad you're part of our Hope Sabbath School family. Rose writes from Hawaii in the United States, greetings in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
I love your interactive Bible study. I believe we know in part and prophesy in part, quoting from the scripture. It's refreshing to hear what the Lord is saying through the body of Christ, my brothers and sisters in the Lord. I'm a Protestant, received Christ under a Pentecostal fellowship, serve currently in a Baptist church. I plan to continue listening, and I'll soon start donating. Have life more abundantly in Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, Rose, we're so thankful to have Christian brothers and sisters around the world who are learning more about God's Word through Hope Sabbath School. Here's a note from a donor in Idaho in the United States. Dear Pastor Derek and Sabbath School team, God be with you all. Our Lord and Savior should come soon and free us from this sinful world. Amen. Can't wait to give you a hug. Well, it will have to be a big hug, donor. By the way, the donor sent a donation of $100 to help Hope Sabbath School.
Amen.
It'll have to be a big hug because you have to hug all 13 of us at the same time. But we're glad you're part of our Hope Sabbath School family. And you know, when we study the Word together, we feel like family, don't we?
Amen.
We're glad you're with us. Here's one last note from Felix in Kenya. We have a few Kenyans on our team. May the grace and peace of our Lord Jesus be with you all. My name's Felix. I want to thank you for the wonderful study. I watch Hope Sabbath School from the app. Oh, by the way, if you haven't downloaded, we have a brand new Hope Channel app. You can get it for your iPhone or for your Android phone. And it's amazing. You can choose different languages if you want to watch. It will automatically open in the language of the country where you're located. Isn't that amazing?
Wow. Wow.
And then you can choose Hope Sabbath School. But you could also choose Cross Connection or Go Healthy for Good. A lot of other great interactive studies. And so I'm glad you've got the app. It's free, by the way. You can download it. Personally, I've been blessed so much. This program has helped me to grow spiritually. The outline, which you can download from the website, is precise and easy to understand. Continue the good work, and may God bless you all. Well, Felix, if you're downloading the outline, you ought to start a study group yourself. In fact, where I go to a small church, we give one of the outlines to every person who comes to Sabbath school so that we can follow through this study together. Today, we're going to be studying about a community of servants, and we're glad you're with us. But before we pray and study, let's sing our theme song, Now May the Lord Direct Your Hearts into the Love of God. Amen.
Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. And may the Lord direct your hearts into the patience of Christ. Now may the Lord give you peace always and everywhere. The Lord be with you all. Amen and amen. Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. And may the Lord direct your hearts into the patience of Christ. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always and everywhere. The Lord be with you all. Amen and amen.
You know, this is the last study in this series on ministering to the least of these, right? To those in need. Yeah, but I don't think I'm going to forget that song. Maybe even when you're sleeping, may the Lord direct your heart into the love of God. And as a community of servants, it's not just about us individually ministering to those in need, but together. Because there are things we can do together that we could never do alone. Let's pray as we study together. Father in heaven, we thank you for the community of faith, for the opportunity to minister to those in need, not only as individuals, but together. And I pray that you would bless each Hope Sabbath School member, wherever we are around the world, as we open your word today, that you would be our teacher and bless each person, each family represented here. And through us, may your blessings flow. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I want to begin in the Great Sermon on the Mount. Jesus, in this great sermon, speaks a lot about ministering to those in need, but he also speaks about our responsibility as his followers. Evelyn, would you like to begin our study today in Matthew chapter 5? Some of you say, Derek, I think I've heard this verses 13 to 16 before, but someone's hearing it for the first time. Yes. And Jesus will challenge us that we're not just supposed to stay out of trouble till he comes back in glory, that he's got something he wants us to do. Let's see what Jesus says.
I'll be reading Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16 from the New King James Version. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven.
So Jesus is saying, if you're my follower, you are supposed to make a difference where you are. You're supposed to be an agent of change. So let's talk about salt. What does it mean, Gary, that you're the salt of the earth?
So salt had a preserving power, if you will, and it also savors your food. You never have food and say, oh, that salt tasted great. It's usually, it brings out the flavor of whatever you're eating.
Now, I'm told in those days that salt was quite valuable, right? Mm-hmm. Some soldiers were even paid with salt. We have the expression, you're worth your salt. Mm-hmm. And it was, you're worth your you price of hire. Mm-hmm. So Christians are valuable in some way. You say they add some flavor, Jonathan?
I was thinking in the Philippines, we would buy fish that had been purified or preserved in salt.
Okay, so they wouldn't rot?
Yeah, exactly. So that's another use.
Preserves them from spoiling?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, anything else that salt can do? Well, what might Jesus be referring to as an agent of change? That you're salt. Yes, Gladys?
Well, they put salt in the roads whenever there's snow. So it changes, you know, it creates some type of protection for the road and also for the drivers.
In those parts of the world where they have it cold enough for that to happen, right?
Yes.
It can actually, if there is ice, it can melt it, right?
Yes.
Because it has a different freezing point. Evelyn?
Well, I think God is calling us to intermingle with people. It's kind of like an evangelistic call. He's saying, you're light, you're salt. Bring flavor to those people. Go and do good unto them.
That's an interesting point because Gary talked about flavoring. Salt's not supposed to just stay all together.
No.
Let me just have a spoonful of salt. You'd spit it out, right?
Yes.
But where it mingles,
yes.
It can be a blessing. What about light? Those are two different images.
Mm.
Puya, you're the light of the world, Jesus says.
Mm.
What does that mean in terms of changing or impacting your community?
Well, light... when we shine it amidst darkness, everything changes because we can see clearly.
Yes.
I think by bringing the Word of God through our lives, through our words, and through our action to others, we can bring the light of God into their hearts, let them see clearly what is most important for their lives as well.
Yes.
That's an interesting idea that we're allowing them to see clearly what God's trying to show them?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Jonathan?
I was thinking how both salt and light bring out something that is already there that you cannot see.
Okay.
So maybe he's appealing to that kind of perspective for us to, by our demonstrating love, by our having peace and forgiveness, we are...
Certainly you would agree that we are doing something useful, right?
Exactly.
Yes.
You know, I don't know about you, but... some people, it seems, have the idea, well, I'm a follower of Jesus and I'm just trying to stay out of trouble till Jesus comes. You know, I'm going to sit in a corner somewhere. Mm. By the way, you will get into trouble with that attitude.
Yes.
We're supposed to make a difference, Nancy.
Another thing that light does is if there's a messy, dirty room, when you turn on the lights, you can see it.
Mm.
So, you know, if you're surrounded by darkness, you're not necessarily going to know that you're surrounded by darkness and a mess. But when Jesus comes in, you say, we need some change here.
We need some cleaning.
Yes. Yes.
Pedro?
And I believe as you look into salt and light, the right amount is important too. Because if we give too little, we have no flavor or we can see much. But if we eat too much, we might blind someone or we might become too overpowering. So the right amount is important.
All right, the right amount. Patricia?
In John chapter 1, we're told that Jesus is the light of the world. And I like the verse that we read here that says that... when we let our light shine, people see our good works, but then they glorify God. So we are actually letting His light shine through us. It's not
beautiful.
Our own.
And of course, the same gospel writer, John, who speaks about being light in chapter 1, Jesus will record where Jesus says, I am the light of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So here in Matthew, the light that's shining through us is not us, right? It's Jesus. But we are to make a difference. Let's look in Philippians chapter 2. Addison, if you could read some words that Paul writes to Christians in Philippi. He's saying, I want you to make a difference where you are.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what it says. Philippians 2 verses 14 and 15.
And I'm reading from the King James Version. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world.
Mm. Shining like lights in the world.
Mm.
In the midst of what kind of generation?
Crooked and perverse.
You say that sounds like it was written yesterday, or maybe today.
Yes.
Jonathan?
It just made me, I hadn't seen it before, that it seems like it's saying we are a bright light because... we aren't complaining. It's a inverse. It's like because you're not complaining, you're not doing these things, then you're a light. It's not so much we're blasting it. It's that we're having that peace and that character of God.
So what is the most important change that God calls us to effect? We're a community of servants ministering even to the least of these, what's the most important change that God wants to see? Anybody? Is it cleaning up the room? Is it, what is it? Patricia?
I think it is to reveal His character to the world, to be like Jesus.
That's the first half of it, right? Yeah. To reveal His character to the world. So, well, let's look, shall we, in 2 Corinthians 5? Stephanie, do you have that?
Yes.
We'd read verses 18 through 20. Patricia's absolutely right, to reveal His character to the world so that, let's see what Paul tells us.
And I'll be reading from the King James Version. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Wow.
So back to what Patricia said, we're revealing the character of God so that...
And reconciled.
So that people might know how they can be reconciled to God. What does the word reconciled mean? Gary?
To be brought back to.
To be brought back into...
To make it right.
To restore that relationship. To restore the relationship, right? Maybe people didn't even know that was possible. And as ambassadors, we're telling them it is possible for you to be reconciled to God. One other text, and then I'm asking, how is this possible for frail people like us? 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. Gladys, if you'd read that for us.
Yes, I'm reading from the New International Version, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 to 16. And he reads, "But thanks be to God, who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of Him everywhere. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the ones we are an aroma that brings death, to the other an aroma that brings life. And who is equal to such a task?"
And what's the answer? Who of us is equal to such a task to bring an aroma of life to the perishing? Stephanie?
None of us without Jesus in our lives.
It's impossible. I like the text was mentioned earlier in a previous study. With man, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So God could take us and use us that people say, you know, from what I see in your life, I want to know more about God, and I actually would like a relationship with Him.
Amen.
Versus saying, wow, if that's what a relationship with God looks like,
I don't want that.
I don't want anything to do with it, right? Mm,
yes.
So God calls us to be that kind of witness. I want to ask you a personal question, and maybe it feels a little awkward because you say it sounds like I'm bragging, and I don't want us to brag. I want us to give glory to God. But God sometimes puts us in a situation in a community and says, I want you to make a difference in that community. And I want you to share a testimony of how God gave you an opportunity to do that. Puya, I want to ask you, because you just spent some significant time back in your home country.
Yes.
And there's lots of needs there. Mm-hmm. Were you sightseeing, taking pictures? You know, you could go back and just, you know, meet old friends.
Right.
What were you doing there? How did you see God using you to bring salt and light? And I don't normally think of ourselves as this nice smell, but you know what I mean.
Right.
A witness for Christ.
Well, as you mentioned, I went back to my home country, spent about 4 months traveling to different parts of the country, doing public evangelisms. First, we have to make friends. So we make friends through community service. So we looked at the community and we asked them what they need. An example, one community where we did evangelism, they needed to build the community hall. So we raised some funds, and they already had a basic structure, but the stage didn't have any floor to stand upon. So it's like an empty stage, you know, you could fall in between. So we raised some funds, and we donated the money for the community. And so we built the community hall to be much better. We closed the back and put a nice stage. And now the community is loving it. And the people, one of the youth leader of that community called all the young people for their first meeting after we rebuilt that. And so now that small community in the little corner of Burma has a nice community hall as a result of, you know, praying and asking God to use us. So it was a blessing to see how God can use us as a group, you know, reaching out to the people.
Now I'm waiting for you to say, and then I stood on that platform
yes,
and told them some good news. Did you do that?
Yes, I did. And people came to learn about God's love. And eventually that was the ultimate goal. So, yes, we did.
We're going to talk a little later about Christ's method, but he came alongside people as someone who desired their good.
Right. Yes.
But eventually he says, by the way, God loves you and follow me, right?
Yes.
Because I'm going to lead you to the eternal kingdom. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting that, did that sound a little strange to anyone? Why are you wasting time building a community center when you need to tell people about the love of God? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Stephanie?
They were telling people about the love of God. They just weren't preaching it. They were living it.
They weren't preaching it yet.
That's right.
They were living it, Trevor?
Living it, for sure. I mean, in a previous lesson, we talked about you want to show the love of Christ. And what best way to do that is through your actions.
Right.
And again, meeting people where they are.
So I'm going to ask a challenging question now. If we're a community of servants, right, together, what are some changes that Jesus would like to see in the community where you live?
Yes.
And the next question is, how do we do that, right?
Yes.
What are some changes in the community where you live that Jesus would like to see? Trevor, you live in Arizona.
I live in Arizona.
Arizona. What are some changes in the place where you live that you think Jesus would like to see?
In the very small community that I live in, we are surrounded with a diverse population. We have Native Americans, we have African Americans, Hispanic. And I think for us, and we talked about this earlier, is building relationships. I believe that is the change he wants us to see, or the change that he wants to see in us. Getting to know your neighbor, going door to door, and just talking, just having a conversation, you know? And so I think it's about building those personal relationships. I think God wants to see us do more of that. Because we can become very passionate about the gospel, which is great, which is wonderful. But do you know your neighbor? Do you know their children? Do you know your neighbor's name?
So building relationships.
Yes.
Someone else. Addison?
I think friendship evangelism is probably the key to making evangelism successful. Because you're building relationships, you're connecting with people. I remember not in my community in Canada, but when I went down to Peru for a couple of weeks, I was able to create this community along with my classmates of just drawing people together and not necessarily preaching about the word, but through good deeds, through vacation Bible schools,
yes,
through construction projects, putting roofs on houses and siding. We were able to make a difference. Yes. And it was great to see the smiles on their face and see what a blessing that we were able to bring into their life.
Amen. And I don't know if you can notice, those in the front row didn't see, but he was smiling when he talked about Peru. Because when we give, it's given back to us, right?
Yes.
Now, getting involved as a community of servants in ministering to those in need involves sacrifice.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It does. Sacrifice of
time.
Time.
Resources.
Money.
Skills.
Energy.
Skills.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, who stands out as you think about the Bible? Do a scan through the Bible of someone you say, this person inspired me as a person who was willing to sacrifice for the cause of God. Jonathan?
To me, Paul's just on top as far as, I mean, who's willing to go through being stoned 3 times, was it? Shipwrecked,
twice. Beaten.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And actually, there was something else that he lost. He walked away from a astonishing career in the religious establishment, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you'd say he was a model of sacrificial service?
Yeah.
Travis?
I'm thinking of the least of these. So the widow Zarephath. So
okay.
She gave up all her food, mm-hmm. everything.
This is a story where Elijah the prophet has said there's going to be a famine, mm-hmm. and God sends him to a widow, and she has very little food left. So you would say she was an example of sacrificial service by making the last meal for the prophet.
For the prophet, yeah.
And by the way, you say, well, that wasn't very kind. What happened? Anybody know what happened after she did that?
Her oil and all the goods that she needed to make the food never failed.
Multiply.
She always had it.
Through the entire famine, right? Yes. The flour and the oil, you know, she kept looking like... You know, and not only did she live, her son lived as well. And of course, Elijah lived. Sacrificial service. Anyone else? Someone that inspires you? Pedro?
Oh, I see Abraham as he moved out of his own land. He came to this, you know, new land and he helped his neighbors. You can see that he was relating to them when they're the even the Sodomites, when they were fighting between each other. He went there and fought for them because of his nephew Lot and the whole community. Yeah. Hmm.
So he left a very nice estate in Ur and camped for the rest of his life, right? Yeah. But it was all about being available to be used by God. Yes, Gladys.
Even though the Bible doesn't spend a lot of time in her life, but I think that the widow with the two mites that she brought, Jesus said that she brought everything she had. And if you think about the widows in that time, you know, if they didn't have a husband, if they didn't have children, they were basically destitute of everything. Mm. And for her to bring everything she had to God, I think that is a very good example of giving everything.
In the original text, the lepton was the smallest copper coin in the Roman currency. And she had two of those.
Two of those.
And she gave both of them.
Yes.
So sacrificial service. Well, that's quite a contrast to a story that's found in Mark chapter 10. And I'm going to ask Patricia if you'd read the story for us. And I wish it only happened 2,000 years ago, Patricia. But Mark 10, 42 to 45 could be a description of some gatherings today. Let's see what the challenge was back in the time of Jesus. Mark 10, beginning with verse 42.
And this is the New King James Version. It reads, "But Jesus called them to himself and said to them, 'You know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many."
So why did Jesus say that? Why did he tell them, don't be like this? Anybody? Yes, Travis?
He wanted to show them that greatness came by actually being the servant.
You're right, but why did he tell them that? Nancy?
They were fighting over who was going to be the greatest in his kingdom.
That's what they were all arguing about. Who's going to be first? Who's going to be second? Who's going to have the most important place? And Jesus is saying, we are not a community of position seekers.
Amen.
Of competitive position seekers. We are a community, if we're followers of Jesus, we're a community of
servants.
But Jesus himself came not to be served,
but to serve.
So why is it helpful for us to align ourselves? How many of you have ever been on a mission trip? Okay. Were there other people, Stephanie, on the mission trip you went to? I think you went, did you go to Malawi?
I did.
Were there other people that were genuinely there wanting to serve?
Yes.
Okay. How large was your group?
We had about 30.
Okay. Now, you could have gone by yourself. What were some advantages of going with a community of servants, do you think? Well, from your reflection on your experience.
Well, we were repairing roofs, and I know that getting the equipment up on top of the roof, and, you know, you can't do that by yourself, necessarily. You could try. But I probably wouldn't have gotten very far if I tried that.
So one benefit of a community of servants is you can do some things you couldn't do by yourself.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What else? Anyone else been on a mission trip? Anybody raising their hand? Evelyn? What are some other benefits besides you know, you lifting this 4x8 sheet of tin, corrugated tin, you couldn't do that by yourself.
Yes, well, the mission trip I went to, we all worked together for an eye clinic. So somebody was taking people's pressure, other people were testing people for glasses. And I remember the long lines of people that were there waiting to get their eyes tested. And if it was just one person, I mean, they'd be there all day. But they would serve less people if there wasn't more helpers, more servants, per se, to help others get their eyes checked.
And what country did you go to?
That was Roatan, Honduras.
Oh, in Honduras. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, Travis, I know you've been somewhere where there were thousands of people lined up for your best pathway to health. Mm-hmm. I forget which city. Was it in Phoenix?
Yeah, it was in Phoenix.
In Phoenix. You were involved in kind of logistics and crowd control. What did you learn about the blessing of a community of servants through that experience?
Wow. I learned many things during that time. First, I learned that ministering to people, reaching their needs first, really is a blessing to them. And many hearts are won to Jesus through that effort. But I learned that if we didn't have all the hands, there was thousands of people served there, that thousands would have been left aside. Mm-hmm. And it took everybody. Mm-hmm. And we could have used more. And we also the prayer, to coming together and praying together. When people were discouraged, we could pray for them and lift each other up. Because when you're faced with some of those tough decisions, it takes prayer warriors.
Yeah. Amen. You know? Amen.
Anybody else? We're talking here about being part of the love of Jesus requires sacrifice. The benefit of being a community together. Someone else, an experience you had, Gary?
So there are many different talents and spiritual gifts that could be used because we can't all do everything, right? So we see that as a body, we could work together to effectively minister to that community, whatever their needs are. We could have folks building houses, but there are folks who have to cook to feed people, folks who are doing studies and lessons or just outreach. I mean, it takes everyone.
Mm-hmm. In the place where you were in Phoenix, there were some people doing surgery.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
They wouldn't have asked Travis to do that, right? Travis is good at construction. So we have different gifts. Trevor?
On that same mission trip with Travis in Arizona, it was beautiful. So another benefit is the family. I got very close to Travis and other pastors that I met. So I think it helps us as a family of believers grow closer.
Isn't that interesting? Because Jesus, when he sent out his disciples, mm-hmm. he didn't send them out by themselves, did they? Mm.
No,
did he? He sent them out two by two. So at least two, that's a little bit of a community. Huya?
I think we can also encourage each other and carry each other's burden.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's something that you can't do alone, you know. Mm-hmm. But when we go through problems and hardships in this journey, By being a part of a community, we can help each other go through difficult times.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I want to tie into that, hold some of those thoughts for just a moment. Sometimes we can get what they call mission fatigue. Is that what it's called? Compassion fatigue?
Compassion.
There's so much need, isn't there?
Yeah.
Look at what Paul says to the Christians in Galatia, in Galatians 6 and 9. How can we avoid that? Gladys, could you read that for us in Galatians 6, 9? Maybe it was just back then, but maybe we could experience it today. How can we encourage each other with that?
Yes, I'm reading from the New International Version, Galatians 6, 9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up.
Mm-hmm. Let us not grow weary in doing good. Now, I think he's saying that because it is possible.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Has anyone here ever kind of got weary? Compassion fatigue? And he's saying, hold in there, you know, we'll reap a reward. What can we do to help someone who's experiencing that? Do you understand what I mean by compassion fatigue?
Yes.
What might we do, Travis, to help someone in that situation?
First is probably relieve them. They just need to give them a break.
Okay. Yeah. You know, let's not say, well, if you prayed more, Madison. If only you love Jesus more, Gladys. And it's like, no, how about give them a rest?
Yes.
You remember in Mark's gospel where they're coming, Mark 6, they didn't even have time to eat?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And Jesus says, why don't you go and rest a while? Yes. So you'd say, give them some break.
Yes.
What else could we do to help someone who's experiencing compassion fatigue? Jonathan?
Yeah, I think sometimes giving them in an environment where they get to experience the results of their work, where they see the inspirational, I mean, like Pathway to Health is one where you see all this amazing things happen. You see God's, the beauty of this community interacting and loving people and people experiencing it. So
having time then to celebrate what God is doing.
Amen.
Right? Because there's always the next assignment, the next cataract surgery, the next house to rebuild. Sometimes we need to pause and say, you know, we don't have anything to fear for the future.
Amen.
As long as we don't forget what God has already done,
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And His teaching. So that can help us too. Gladys?
Yes, our youth pastor there used to go on mission trips a lot. What he would do is like you were trying to say, you know, just rotate the groups. You know, somebody will be giving the lesson to say or help building the roof. I will always be translating mainly, but I would like to go and visit like the clinic or the Bible study. And like that, it's time to celebrate and get to see what God is doing through somebody else. And at the same time, get a rest.
I want to share with you a wonderful insight about how Christ ministered to people, because as a community of servants, Jesus is our leader, right?
Yes.
We don't have a human leader. Jesus is our leader. Let me read this quotation. It's from a book called Ministry of Healing. As you listen to it, see what jumps out at you. We've kind of referred to some of these principles in our study. Christ's method alone will give true success in reaching people, the author writes. And here are the strategies. He mingled with them as one who desired their good. He showed sympathy for their needs, for them. He ministered to their needs. He won their confidence. And then he invited them to follow him. That was Christ's method. Mingle with them as one who desired their good, showed sympathy for them, ministered to their needs, won their confidence, invited them to follow him. What impacts you as you think about Christ's method of reaching out to, especially to the least of these. Trevor?
Looking at the order of how you read that, he mingled with them as one that desired their goods. People want to know that they are useful, that they are valuable. And I mentioned working with the food bank in my church previously, and I can't tell you the delight that people have when they can come to our table and say, please, take this and allow this to bless others. And at the same time, again, we're having those conversations and we're mingling and we're building valuable friendships. I think that first one you read is so powerful. Relationships are so important.
Mingling is one who desires their good. You know, as we were reading that, Puya, I thought of you and the team building that little community center for that village where you were working. Anybody else? What jumps out at you from this strategy of Jesus? Gladys?
Yes, a pastor will always say, people will not care how much you know till they know how much you care. So that is important. That is what I see in the steps.
So he
show them first. I'm interested in you.
He came near them. He showed sympathy, but then he ministered to their needs.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. I've heard that repeated here in our studies. Don't just say, well, God bless you. Let's pray together that God will care for you. When God is saying, could you care for her? You know, what could you do?
Okay.
Right? Yeah. Fuya?
I think oftentimes it's very easy for us to think that we know what people need. You know, instead of asking what they need, oftentimes we make the mistake of providing, just giving them out or, you know, just handing some tokens of things or gifts. But it's helpful to ask or to investigate and to learn what they actually need. You know, imagine going to a restaurant and the waitress or the waiter coming to you and just giving you any food that the waiter wants before you even, you know, order what you wanted.
But it was the waiter's favorite food.
So the point is, you know, we need to ask. We need to learn what people need instead of simply, giving them what we think they need. Mm-hmm. You know?
Now, you went to one community. They needed this community center finished.
Yes.
Did you find different needs in different communities you went to during those 4 months?
Yes. Some community needs health education, you know, giving them health talks and teaching them how to live well, healthy health principles. Mm-hmm. As simple as washing our hands, you know, every time we go to the restroom or every time we play in the dirt, you know, a simple basic education. The needs is always different from one community to another.
Mm-hmm. But you're telling us that we ought to ask.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What are your needs? How can we serve you?
Mm-hmm. Talk.
Right?
Communicate.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Communicate with them, right? Listen.
That's what Jesus did.
That's what Jesus did. Pedro?
Yeah. Looking at the you know, this list of things, you know, I always like the part of minister to their needs. You know, I'm a servant of myself. I like to do things. I'm a task-orientated. But I notice that I cannot help people if they don't know me. They are, you know, I see that they have a need. If I just approach and say, can I do this for you? Mm. They're going to back up. I said, no, don't worry. You don't have to bother. I don't want to bother you for this. But if you mingle with them, you've built that relationship, you build that connection, you show the sympathy that you have for them, they will be saying, yes, please, you can help me because you have built that relationship between that person.
All right. Travis?
As I'm listening to everybody and listening to the words you read, as a businessman, I can sum this up in one word. He says, invest.
Mm. Mm. Invest.
Invest. Mm. Because each one of these, as he's investing, investing, investing. Mm. He's calling us to be investors.
Yes. Mm. Mm.
Mingling, showing sympathy, ministering to needs, winning confidence, and then telling them about spiritual things.
Yes. Mm.
Right? This is Christ's method. Stephanie?
I hear him truly caring about the person. Mm-hmm. Truly caring. Not looking for what he can get in return, but truly caring about everything.
Yeah.
So how would you respond to someone who says, I don't have time for all of that. I just need to tell them that Jesus is coming soon. By the way, they need to hear that, right?
Yes.
Pedro?
Well, I see this happened in my life, in my conversion story. I see people, when I came to Christ, people were interested in me. They desire to share much more. I saw that they were not looking to share Christ with me at the beginning. They built up that relationship before they offered Christ to my life. And I believe we ought to do the same. That will bring us closer to each other in community, as we see, but also will share Christ in a greater light in relationship. Mm-hmm.
And I'm smiling because they probably had no idea of the work you would do today. What do you do now?
I'm a pastor.
You're a pastor. But when they came to you, they first came and...
I was a child, 7 years old.
7 years old. Wow. And what were some of your needs at 7 years of age?
Well, I need parenting. You know, my parents were divorced at that time. And as soon as I came to church, they had been divorced. And I had a family that took me in, made me friends with their kids. They invite me to their home. They were friends with me. They took interest and listened to me in teaching me things that I didn't know before.
Yes. Mm. Wow.
Is that beautiful?
Yes.
You say, that sounds like Jesus.
Yes.
You say, but no Bible study yet. Or maybe there was.
Yes, absolutely.
It was a Bible study in action, right?
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Patricia, by the way, thank you for sharing that, Pedro. Mm. Isn't that beautiful what God did?
Amen.
Does that family live in the U.S. or in another country?
They live in Brazil.
Mm. Oh, I hope they watch Hope Sabbath School someday and hear how their lives impacted your life.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Patricia.
I was just thinking about the religious leaders back in Jesus' day. They couldn't understand what Jesus was doing, and they were telling him, well, how come you sit with tax collectors and sinners? What are you doing? You know, they just couldn't understand.
And even beyond not understanding, they criticized him, didn't they?
Yes.
They kind of implied, well, you must be one of them.
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
You eat with sinners.
Yes.
When actually he was drawing close to them to build a relationship with them, right? Pedro?
It was being the salt and the light.
Back to what we said earlier. No wonder he told us to do that.
Right. Yes.
Well, as we continue on in our study, as a community of servants, we not only need each other to lift the sheet for the roof or to knock down the old building and build something new, but we do need to encourage each other.
Yes.
Yes.
And let's take a look at some admonition the author of the book of Hebrews gives in chapter 10, verses 23 to 25. And Gary, I'm going to ask you if you'd read that for us, beginning in Hebrews 10, verse 23.
Okay. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching.
Now, I have a confession to make. I grew up thinking not forsaking the assembling of yourselves was saying, don't skip church. You know, you're supposed to go. That's not what this is actually saying. At least it's not the motivation for saying it, like, you're supposed to go, you didn't go, you're bad. What's the message here? Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, Puya?
I think, you know, the challenge for people throughout the ages have been to stand up for Jesus. You know, God, Jesus calls us to be different, especially in our day and age today. The society that and the culture that we live in is drawing us to focus on ourselves. You know, this whole series we have been studying to focus on others. So when we actually apply this, it means that we are standing up and we're standing out and we're different. And it's really difficult and challenging to be different. For example, you know, with the whole technology, with all of this influence, people are buying iPhones, iPad, iMac, and the focus is on possessions. And so when we say that, nope, Jesus is calling me to be different and to focus on others, and when I see others, believers, doing the same thing, following Jesus, and that gives me a feeling that, hey, I'm not alone. I'm not alone in this. It's okay to be different for Jesus and to help others. You know.
You talk about being different from culture. I was traveling in an Asian country, and there was a billboard. I had to get it translated, but it was a man with his car. And it said, you ask how I'm doing, and I show you my car. It should be, you ask how I'm doing, and I show you the people I have a privilege to serve. Right?
Amen.
So you're saying the reason we all not to forsake assembly together is in a world where these values that Jesus taught are not held by many people, we need to be encouraged by others who have accepted that same mission. Travis?
I had the privilege over the last month to spend quite a few days and hours with a friend of mine from Malawi who's just sold out for Jesus. And so coming together and praying, it's inspired me. And I know that I've done things in the mission field and in the community that others have said, you've inspired me, and I know people from my church have inspired me. So coming together, we can tell each other how God's working in our lives. We're inspired to fall in love with Jesus, to go out and share the gospel together, and we build off of each other, and we can become a community of servants.
Yes. Evelyn?
The Bible tells us that we are members of the body of Christ, and the way our body works, our hand has its own function, our legs function a different way, and so if we are to put it into this context, everyone, a community of people, a church of people that assemble together, each of them have a specific role. Their specific ministry together enhances the ministry as a whole for others.
Sure.
Amen.
You know, just today I heard a powerful testimony from someone who basically grew up on the street and was abused and damaged in unimaginable ways, who now is a new creation in Jesus.
Amen.
I'm encouraged by that.
Amen.
You know, I would not have heard that just going to a popular television network, right? I would not have heard that. But when we come together, we're encouraged by each other's testimony. And that's what I appreciate about you sharing. What about the stirring one another up to love and good works? Why do we need that? What does that mean even, Jonathan?
I think there's something about hearing someone else's passion for sharing the love of God that that challenges us and that stirs it up in ourselves. I remember when I was working in a student missionary in the Philippines, I was living in a grass hut and living with these two other young men, and they were sold out for missions. And for one of them wanted to go live in Tibet and work, you know, up in the mountains, up in the middle of nowhere, and live like with the sheep and goats. And he had all the plans. And, like, he had all these plans of how he was going to do it. And the other one had been there for 5 years and is now married to the person who started the work in Mongolia. And they were just following these guys, listening to these guys, stirred up the passion of missions in my heart. And amazing.
I'm smiling as I'm looking at Jonathan because he's an IT specialist, but he's talking about living in a grass hut in the Philippines.
That's where I was called to come back and to use IT skills to support the church.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah. He could have been out just making money for himself and saying, how am I doing? Look at my car. Instead, he's excited to connect with other people. He used the expression sold out, on fire, right? On fire for God. And when we're around those people, it does something for us, doesn't it? Yeah. Patricia?
I think this tells us that this is the type of thing that's contagious when we see somebody who is passionate about ministry. We feel like we need to do something too.
Yes.
Come with me to Galatians 6 and verse 10. I think, Pedro, you mentioned earlier, you know, it's good to care for everyone in need, but don't forget the people maybe in your own community of faith. We're a community of servants. Is it possible there are servants who need some help?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Servants who need a little encouragement?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Let's take a look. Evelyn, are you there in Galatians chapter 6?
Yes.
Verse 10.
Galatians 6, verse 10. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith.
Now, it doesn't exclude anyone, right? It says, let's do good to
all.
That's right. That includes even the least of these. But especially, why do you think Paul says that? Especially those of the household of faith. This is early Christianity, right? What's it like?
It's hard work.
It's rough.
It's hard.
Yes.
Persecution.
Yes.
Martyrdom.
Yes.
Don't forget
to take care
of each other.
And how do I find out what needs people in the household of faith have?
Talk, ask.
I ask them.
Yes, mingle.
We're to follow that method, Christ's method alone. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. We're working with people not just in the world, but in the church, in the household of faith.
So I want to ask you some questions as we close. Who has been an encouragement to you as you serve others in Jesus' name? It may have a name and a face attached to it, right? Someone who's been an encouragement to you. Trevor, as you serve others, we're a community of servants. Yeah. Who's been an encouragement to you?
There's two, Pastor. There's one sitting behind me.
Okay.
Travis, meeting him has been an inspiration to me. He's living this life, and it's so encouraging, his selfless service. And
by the way, you met him at a ministry event.
Yes, at a ministry
at
event.
At one of these health ministry events, right?
And so it's just been a wonderful experience. I do call him my mentor. The other individual is in my local church. Her name is Ulitzi. And 5 years ago, I rededicated my life to Christ.
Amen.
And it's been a wonderful journey, but it's been also tough. And Ulitzi has been there for me through all of it. A good listener, wise counsel. When I had no one to go door to door with to evangelize, she was there. We do Bible work together, and I just appreciate her. And she's one of those people that she just keeps going and going. So it's just been encouragement. I think everyone needs a Ulitzi in their local church, and she's just been a really just a powerful blessing to me.
I hope she watches Hope Sabbath School, right? She'll be blessed. Someone else, who's been an encouragement to you as you've served others in Jesus' name? Puya?
For me, throughout my ministry travels, people who encourage me are local church members.
Okay.
Who are living faithfully for Jesus. As I look at them, as I watch their lives, I'm very encouraged. I can't name them all. There are too many.
Yes.
You know, that's interesting. Of course, Puya's father is a pastor.
Yes.
And I'm sure he's been an inspiration. And maybe the local church members would say, well, it wouldn't be me, right? Puyo wouldn't mention me, but he is.
Yes.
He's saying those faithful women of God, those faithful men of God, they encourage me on the journey. Travis, who's been an encouragement to you?
Well, you had to ask me, and so I'm going to have to say it's been you, Derek. You've been a super mentor to me.
Yeah.
We met about 5 years ago, and God has turned your life around. And I've just had the privilege of seeing the miracle happen and studying to be a pastor now, and praise God.
Amen.
You know, we're encouraged as we see what God does, right?
Amen. Amen.
Yes. Anybody else? Someone who's been an encouragement to you? Gladys?
I have a band of ladies.
A band. That sounds like a holy gang.
Yes, a holy gang of ladies that are my prayer warriors. And whenever we may not see each other every week, but we're always connected through prayer, and we connect through text messages. And whenever we have an issue, we just know that we can lean on each other. Amen. And they have been a source of inspiration for me for the last 7 years.
Amen. So I have one last question, which I'm not going to ask you to answer. And I'm asking you, too, where you are, the same question. Who do you know who needs encouragement today? I'm talking about someone in the community of servants, someone who's serving others in Jesus' name. Who do you know who needs encouragement today? A text message, a phone call. Some people even still write letters, right? You know someone, and the Spirit of God says, send her a note of encouragement today. Make a phone call to him today. Let's not forsake encouraging each other as a community of servants as we prepare for the soon coming of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Well, you know who that is. Write that down after we pray. Say, Lord, I'm going to do that. And I'm praying right now, God, show me who that is for me, because we need to press together as we come to the close of Earth's history. We're a community of servants caring for the least of these, ministering to those in need. We are blessed, but sometimes the road is hard. We need to pray for each other, encourage each other, lift each other up when we feel weak. Most of all, press to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith.
Amen.
Let's pray together. Father in heaven, what a privilege it is to be part of the family of heaven. We thank you for your saving grace through Jesus, your Son. We thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the privilege of joining you in extending your love, of aligning our heart with yours. And may blessings come and encouragement come to the community of faith as we serve in Jesus' name. We pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, thanks for joining us for this series, Life Changing. Stay with us as we study in-depth interactive studies of the Word of God. But don't keep it to yourself. Go out and be a blessing to those around you.